What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, January 19th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the busiest lady in the business, Andrea Renee.
What's good, Greg?
The brand new segment we have, Andrea. It is called Andrea Needs to Know Her Role.
Oh, shit.
Mark Lark wrote in to kindafunny.com/KFGD and says,
okay.
Angry Greg voice. He named the segment too. Andrea, how dare you interrupt the discussion of lunch on yesterday's Kinda Funny Games Daily? The discussion of lunch is a staple on all Kinda Funny shows. Please join the fun because I would like to hear your opinion about what to get for lunch. Smiley emoticon. Kevin, are we doing the pizzas today? Make the pizzas happy, Joey.
Joey, can you order a bunch of pizzas?
Listen, pizza showed up after the show, I wouldn't be sad about it.
You got to run, though. You got a meeting. You're the busiest lady in the business. You're off of here to a meeting. How are you?
I'm doing well. I could take a slice for the road. I'm at a point now. When we were talking about on the show yesterday, or maybe it was Tuesday, I'd mentioned that I hadn't played games in a while.
Yeah,
I still haven't picked up my controller, and sure. I'm like, now I'm getting the itch.
Oh yeah.
So I think this weekend I'm gonna have to put some serious time in. But I did manage to go to trivia for the first time with Joey Noel last night.
Yeah. That was fun. Joey is always a good time at the trivia.
Yes. Also, She is excellent at trivia.
Yeah, it's one. You know, people might ask why would she go every Thursday other than seeing her friends and hanging out and doing all that stuff. But it's because she is always on the winning team. Her and Dornbush, they're always out there just cleaning clocks. I see them putting up their Instagram posts.
So he wasn't there last night.
So that's how Joey won all by herself?
No. The John Drake.
John Drake.
Accompanied us and was clutch with some great answers. Okay. I had a couple that I was like, I know this one, guys. But he was like, I know almost all of the other ones.
I played that embargoed game yesterday that I still can't talk about. I played PUBG with Kevin at night. And let me tell you, we're still very bad.
Hold on a second. Oh, we were trying a different technique?
We were trying a different technique, but it worked as badly as... We can either be cowards and win the game.
Yeah.
Or we can try to actually do stuff and just get killed.
I guess, right?
I guess so. But then Kevin's always sitting next to me, is this fun? Well, I sit there and I watch the door with my shotgun. I'm like, it's fun. Shut up. We're going to win. That's all that matters.
The time that I played PUBG, I found a little house and it was clear that nobody had been in it yet. So I walked through and I made sure to shut all the doors
of course.
Behind me and didn't get much. Got I got a frying pan. Maybe like some kind of gear that I can't remember. And then I found a bathroom. And I was like, I'm just going to sit in this bathtub and just wait.
Yep,
I've done that. I'm just going to put my gun, you know, towards the door. A guy came in. I saw him like run by the window. And
sure.
I was like, ooh.
Here we go. Your heart starts pounding.
This is the chance.
Yeah.
And he opened the door. Totally did not know I was in there. Yeah. I shot him in the face. And man, he had a ton of gear.
That's always
the best. I just cleaned house. And I managed to get one more kill. I finished like 18th or something. That was my first.
Nice.
My first and only match of PUBG.
Kevin and I, even though we've played a lot of duos, I still, I think, of myself as a solo person. Because yesterday, I had this amazing move where I was coming out of the house, dude on the horizon, gun drawn, scope, dead.
So,
killed the dude.
So good.
And Kevin was like, so good. And I immediately ran to the next house for cover. He's like, no, but his friend. I was like, fuck. And then I started going around the house trying to trick him on where he would be.
Yeah.
And sure enough, either him or his friend came up on him.
They both came back.
I'm
sure his friend revived him. You should have come out and...
Well, I know, but I get...
You can revive?
Yeah.
You have like 9 seconds to bring someone back.
Yeah, before the guy's dead.
But I mean, when you revive someone, they have almost no life.
Yeah.
It's hard.
And then this morning, while you guys have been doing the show here, I obviously... Yeah, you did the morning show. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I was gathering Kinda Funny Games Daily, but also downloading Switch games, getting ready to go. So I got that game, the Blossom game I was telling you about, the Zelda-like one.
Right.
Enough people have recommended it and said it's up my alley. I shouldn't have ignored it. I got Battle Chef Brigade. Got that one downloaded.
Greg, you're gonna like it a lot.
I know. Something about it never looked great, but everybody keeps telling me I need to, so I'm in on that. And then I got that one, Mom Hid My Games too.
Brittany said that's really fun.
And then the one that came out yesterday from the Tesla grad people, something about going west. Kindafunny.com/you're wrong. Even though I haven't told you about that, but you know, tell me what the name of the game is. Way west, go west, Chicago west. I don't know. If you didn't know this. It's Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday on a variety of platforms. We run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. before jumping to your questions, comments, concerns, Andrea-related topics, anything else you got. If you want to give us a new segment, go to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Put it all there. It becomes the show here, and we do it for you. You can watch live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, where we do the show live, but don't look at the chat. Instead, if you're watching live, your job is to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight. For everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe, no matter where you get the show, thank you for consuming it. Maybe consider going to our sponsor, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where right now $1 you could have watched us record the Gamescast live right now as an audio mp3 and of course a video. You can get the Kind of Funny Gamescast. It is our 2018 Nintendo predictions with special guest Game Explains Andre Seegers. It's a doozy of an episode.
Nearly 3 hours long.
It's nearly 3 hours long?
It's 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Good Lord, that's a podcast right there. That's a girthy podcast.
Well, if you're getting the additional 50 minutes of pre-show.
Yeah, well, if you got it on Patreon today, you'd get all that pre-show and post-show. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
In the video format.
In the video format, you get a lot of podcasting. Yeah. Okay. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. I refuse to give this no Roper. There's no fanfare for this Roper Report. The number of stories, Kevin? One.
A piece of bread. I don't know.
A piece of bread.
That's definitely not a baker's dozen. You know? And I'll tell you what. This is one of those stories that's not even that much of a story, but an interesting enough thing. All right.
Right.
This is about the state of Twisted Metal. I found it via Reset Era, who, of course, had linked to David Jaffe putting up a vlog pretty much talking about where he was with this, because this is one of his most requested questions, I guess, on Twitter. So it's Jaffe's video, then PepeTR summarized on a Reset Era. First off, he noted that he doesn't have the rights to the series. It's currently owned by Sony, as you can probably see with the new Twisted Metal Black re-release. He hasn't heard much progress in terms of what the company wants to do with the next part of the series, but they are keeping him informed when something does happen since he created it and all. However, he noted that he would be stunned if the company began working on anything related to Twisted Metal, as he believes reconfiguring the game for today's audiences would take a great deal of money to get done. That said, however, he's hopeful that something could be done in a way of like a remaster of Twisted Metal PS3 getting reconfigured for PS4 and whatnot. There are the original PS1 games to consider as well. Considering that Twisted Metal Black was one of the top three best-selling PlayStation 2 classic titles for PS4, there's still a great deal of interest in the series. And since the company did just announce that they were bringing back the cult classic Medieval for a remaster, there's always a chance for an announcement. Andrea, are we ever getting another Twisted Metal?
Probably not.
You don't think? Never.
Probably not.
Wow, okay.
The last time they did one, it didn't do very well.
Yeah, the PS3 one. No, it wasn't bad. It was different.
It wasn't Twisted Metal.
It wasn't the Twisted Metal you knew, Kevin.
No, it wasn't Twisted Metal. It was something.
I just think that racing games of that style are just...
Vehicular car combat.
Yeah, they're just not... they're just not popular right now.
Yeah.
I think racing games overall, whether they be kart racing or simulation racing, are just, you know, not in vogue.
Sure.
Right now. And that's okay. I mean, gaming genres come and go. They ebb and flow. Some, they're popular, some, they take a backseat. And
yeah,
maybe it'll come back around eventually, but I don't see one coming out in the next 5 years.
Wow. Yeah. Mario Kart's huge.
Right.
Forza's got its people. That's when you start getting into niches. I just want to make sure we're being clear.
Well, listen, when you say huge,
yeah,
it's not PUBG huge.
No, true. Right? I'll give you that.
So they sold probably what, like, I think between 4 and 5 million copies of that game?
Yeah. It was roughly on the NPD for December again.
So did great. You and I both love that game. Not saying it's a bad game. I'm just saying, like, when you look at the landscape overall of what's being done in game development, there's just not a lot of buzz around the next racing game.
You figure, yeah, they're used to
it. I mean, Microsoft's trying hard with Forza, and, like, the games are...
Project Cars is all over the place.
Yeah, the games are good, and there's certainly a dedicated community.
100%.
It just isn't breaking through the noise.
It's not like it... I understand where you're coming from. I just want to over-explain so people understand, because when we say something's not big, what does that really
mean?
Oh, no,
this is definitely going to get taken out of context by somebody, for
Andrew
sure.
Andrew hates racing games. But it's the fact of Twisted Metal and the off-road and Fury, and there was a million racing games when
Burnout
you're talking
Revenge,
about
that
PS2 into PS3 era, where people were all about this, let alone, PS1 to PS2 Twisted Metal, and how much people loved that. And... I don't know what Sony will do with the franchise. I would imagine, yeah, they take their foot off the gas for a while and eventually do bring it back, but bring it back probably as a PSN download that's more in line with what the PS1 version was of, like, hey, let's make a split screen. This is what a lot of people want. We've got some indie dev we're working with that we've given the IP to go off and do this and make that. Because that was the biggest thing, what Kevin's, you know, being a jerk about, is the fact that Twisted Metal PS3... Okay, finally some news just broke. We have two items on the road report. Andrew's going to read one from GameSpot here in a second. Yeah, I think it's just a fact. I mean, Sony's not going to walk away from a franchise like that. I think you'll get another Twisted Metal, but I bet it would be a simpler, hey, we're a more low-cost investment for hopefully a higher reward than what they got out of Twisted Metal PS3, like you're saying. That
right.
was one of the, what, it was that and Starhawk, and it was, hey, we have a PlayStation 3 exclusive every month, and for some reason... that stretched gamers too thin. They didn't care. It didn't happen. It didn't seem like they were getting the return on investment they wanted off of those games.
Right. Well, I think also if you look at that era, online connectivity just wasn't as robust as it is today. Mm-hmm. The infrastructure is just so much better today. It functions a lot more smoothly. So I think, you know, it would be cool to see a game like Twisted Metal come back with a really, you know, complex online multiplayer offering,
yeah,
considering how big both, you know, PlayStation network is now, especially when you compare it to the PS3 era. Like, sure. PS4 is like night and day difference as far as like usability,
bells and whistles and features and
quality, yes, of life. Yeah, right,
exactly.
So listen, I'm not saying it's dead forever, but you know, I don't see it coming back.
Don't hold your breath
soon.
Okay. Correct. It will be interesting to see if David Jaffe's involved when they come back, because that was pretty cool that they got him involved for PS3 and made that actually happen. Andrea, what's this news story you got for me?
So I was scrolling and I saw this headline. The Last of Us director reveals why he left Naughty Dog.
Big old Bruce Straley breaking his silence. What's he saying?
So over on GameSpot, it reads, when The Last of Us launched back in 2013, Bruce Straley and Neil Druckmann established themselves as effectively the face of the developer Naughty Dog. Together, they went on to lead development of Uncharted 4, further cementing their reputation as a directorial duo. But Straley left the studio after the game launched, and now we know why. Appearing on Kotaku's Split Screen podcast, Straley revealed that his departure was due to the stresses and pressure of Uncharted 4's development. Hmm. It was the first time that a project had felt more like an obligation to the team and the company rather than a passion project for himself. Hmm. Quote, Uncharted 4 showed up and it was like, I guess there's a difference between doing something for yourself, which feels passionate, and I had my own theories that I was trying to expand upon between Uncharted 1, 2, and The Last of Us, and then Uncharted 4 became more like, how do I do this for the team and for the company, end quote, he said. Straley and Druckmann also had a relatively short time frame to work on Uncharted 4, which further contributed to Straley's feeling of burnout. They only had 2 years to work on the game. For comparison, their work on The Last of Us began in 2009, 4 years before its release. Quote, we needed to get the game out the door, and we needed it to be something good so that it didn't put a mark on the Naughty Dog name, he said. I felt like, I guess in hindsight, I took on that role more for the team than for me personally. 2 years to create that beast and then became the hardest project I had worked on. He explained that his break and later departure from the studio had, quote, nothing to do with Naughty Dog, nothing to do with the games, end quote. And said he thought after Uncharted 4 was launched was, quote, oh my God, it was time to take a break. It's just time to step away, end quote.
Interesting. Yeah, he took that sabbatical before he actually announced he was leaving. And so you can imagine, yeah, the pressures of it. But to come out and say, yeah, that, you know, Uncharted 4 was work, right? Whereas I think Last of Us for him was more of a passion project and creating something. You understand that. And I'm glad to see him do that. That's the other thing. I'd rather that happen than Bruce stay, continue on these games, lose his passion for game making, and see then the art suffer because of that, right?
Right, and I think it's not just the passion or loss of passion that will inevitably contribute to, you know, essentially less than great games, but things start to slip through the cracks the more overworked you are, the more burnt out you are, the more tired, more exhausted. I mean, we all experience that in our lives at some point where we drop the ball somewhere because we just can't physically do it.
Yeah.
And this is an ongoing problem in game development, the idea of crunch and how unions could really step in and help alleviate crunch for a lot of developers is something that's being talked about quite a bit. And I'm glad that these conversations are not just behind closed doors, that more developers feel comfortable talking about them publicly. I really hope, you know, we see a lot of this at GDC, the Game Developers Conference, which is coming up here in about a month and a half. But yeah, it's good that he came forward and was like, yeah, like I just had to walk away.
Yeah.
I think it hopefully will empower other developers who may be feeling the similar circumstances to say, maybe I need to take a break for my own personal well-being as well.
Not to mention that I think in our day and age, internet livelihoods, right? It feels like that if you're not in the conversation in the moment, if you're not actively being a part of everything that's happening, that maybe you're fading away, right? And I imagine for game developers of this caliber, right? When you step out and you are, like the article says, the face of Naughty Dog, that there is concern about, well, if I step away, can I actually make it back, right? And for him to take the sabbatical, come back and be like, I'm still going to leave Naughty Dog.
Yeah.
I think whatever he does next, or the fact that he's still making headlines, shows that there is life for a developer out there who's like, I need to take a few months off.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it extends to, you know, creators as well. I mean, you think about even the grind that the team here at Kind of Funny does to make sure that there's content. I saw yesterday Datto, who has a very popular Destiny channel, if you guys are familiar with his work, tweeting about how it's been 5 days since he put a piece of video up, and he's really worried that he's losing touch with his audience and that they're leaving his channel. I was like, dude, it's only been 5 days. But
that's the world they live in.
It
right?
is. It's like a wake-up call that, like, if you're not constantly churning out content, that, you know, that you're no longer relevant. And like, that's, I think it's a really unhealthy place that we've put ourselves in.
Sure. I hear you. I think it all depends channel to channel, but I know like Twitch streamers are, you know, the all day variety streamers are the same thing of like, they can't take a day off. They can't get sick. They feel like if they step away, then their audience will just go find somebody else or go off somewhere else. It's luckily true. Our audience likes to hear us argue about lunch. So that's why they stick around. Thank you, Big Kev Duck. Thanks, Big Kev Duck. Yeah. All right.
Did you guys make the order? Excellent.
Thanks, Joey. The Last of Us 2 sure as hell ain't coming out this year.
Mm-mm.
Nobody knows when it's coming out, but it ain't happening this year, so stop holding your breath. Andrea, if I want to know what games came to the mom and grop digital shops, where would I go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Gary Whitta wanted that made into a song. A man, Mr. Burns, did it. And I've tweeted it out. You can go find it there and listen to it if you want to on my Twitter.
Nice.
Out today, Vesta on Xbox One, PlayStation 4, and Switch. Kirby Battle Royale on 3DS. Digimon Story, Cyber Sleuth, Hacker's Memory on PlayStation 4. Mutant Football League on Xbox One. I think it's on PlayStation 4 too, though. Rento Fortune, PS4. The Vanishing of Ethan Carter on Xbox One. The Aquatic Adventure of the Last Human on Xbox One. And then over on Oculus, Boxing Apocalypse has come out. New dates for you. Stay is coming soon to Xbox One, PC, and Mac. Now that you normally, I wouldn't give you a thing there. You got no real date. It's just coming soon. However, ran into this over on the Xbox One Newswire or whatever.
Okay.
This game looks fucking awesome. Imagine, did you ever play Emily's Away or watch our Let's Plays of Emily's Away?
No.
Imagine Emily's Away, where you're just talking through a computer terminal to somebody else, except this person has been abducted and you're trying to help get them out or figure out what's going on with them, and it's all happening in real time. So if you walk away from the Xbox One or PC, whatever, for 7 hours and you come back, 7 hours of real time game has passed. And so you're going back having this weird conversation. Sounds awesome. Can't wait to play this. Very excited.
I'm trying to Google it, but
stay video game. Or go to, what is it? New. It's one of my save things. News.xbox.com. Xbox News. Xbox Wire. Call Major Nelson. He'll tell you. Switchblade is coming to PlayStation 4 and getting a closed beta on January 22nd. NIS announced three games. Original Disgaea remake. The Lying Princess and Blind Prince. And The Blind Prince. That's a translation, so you'll see if that one actually handsomes that way. And then something called Nightmare. Then We Happy Few has been delayed until summer 2018.
I'm so bummed about that. Like,
just keep burning market share. Just burning cachet of people knowing or caring.
Just got a question about this on what's good about somebody being like, when are you guys going to talk about We Happy Few? And I'm like, when it actually releases.
Yeah, I don't want to play this early access stuff. I want to play the game and get out there. Yeah. And I know you are, you're playing PUBG. You're talking about PUBG, right?
Different kind of game.
This has got a story and a narrative. And so I know I don't want to play it like all not real. I want to play the real game. But I just want them to put out the real game too. Under Night. This is one of those games. Under Night in Birth. EXE colon late and then bracket ST end bracket.
Wait, what?
It's coming to PlayStation 4 and PS3 on February 9th. Under night in birth, EXE, colon, late, but it could be latest, but it's late, but then bracket around the S and the T.
Hold on, I gotta Google this. What is this thing?
I got a press release for it today, and that's why it's here. Because February 9th, if that's your jam.
Oh, it is latest. Under night in birth X. Got the brackets in there. Latest.
The brackets, though, Andrea. You put brackets in there, I'm gonna say them. Because clearly you want me to say them. And then Hatsune Miku, right? Is that how I say it? Hatsune, you know this game. Everybody talks about it.
Yeah.
Hatsune Miku is coming to Steam VR in early 2018.
Oh, that's interesting.
Deals of the day for you. There's a PSN flash sale going on right now. It's going on through the 22nd. A million games on there at a discount price. You can get LocoRoco for like $4 or something. Remastered LocoRoco. I urge you not to buy it so that after they put out LocoRoco 2 Remastered, they stop worrying about LocoRoco and just get all the Patapons out faster. Because the fact that LocoRoco is going first in the batting order, I'm not a fan of. Where's Patapon 2's release date? I digress. I know Andrea.
Can I like redo my meme from the other day?
They have it. We're talking about Patapon. You know, it's got a life of its own over on the Reddit and Facebook.
I don't have a coffee cup today. It's not going to be the same.
I love that one so much. Let's go into reader mail brought to you by patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Of course, you can go there right now and get the games cast, nearly 3 hours of content before anybody else gets it on Monday. And they won't even get all 3 hours of it. They'll miss all the pre-show. They'll miss 50 minutes, Kevin says. Can you live without 50 minutes of Nick and Andy and everybody coming in here being goons? I don't think so. Reader mail is going to start this way, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk about PlayStation Now and Xbox Games Pass. You might remember yesterday on the show, we started talking about PS Now, and we didn't have much hands-on time with it, experience, updated impressions.
So we asked you guys to write into the show.
Where can they do that?
At kindoffunny.com/KFGD.
Just like Parker Petroff did. He wrote in and said, "Dear Greg and Andrea, I have used PlayStation Now in the past and currently use Xbox Game Pass. The issue I have with PlayStation Now is that it has too many asterisks on getting it to work properly. It works great if you're playing a single-player game on a wired connection using a cable modem. It does not work well over wireless or DSL connections where you are more prone to dips in speed and connectivity. Also, God help you if you try to stream in a game and use the multiplayer modes. I found Xbox Games Pass to be the superior service. As with PlayStation Now, I was able to play old Sony games which is okay on occasion, but not everyone wants to play old games. However, with Xbox Game Pass this year, I've played notable games such as ReCore, State of Decay, Gears 4, and Halo 5, all via the Games Pass service. Microsoft is providing relevant exclusives within their Game Pass service. Also, since they are downloaded to your system, you can actually use the multiplayer features just as effectively as those purchased the game. Who purchased the game, I think it means. Another advantage of Games Pass... And is it Game Pass or Games Pass? I keep adding an S because I'm stupid. But he's writing Game Pass.
I think it's Xbox Game Pass, no
Game
S.
Game Pass. Is that?
Yes, yeah, Xbox Game Pass,
It is
no
also
S.
tied to Microsoft Rewards Service. By using Bing and or shopping... Using Bing, Jesus. No thank you, sir. I don't care what they're giving me. Or shopping with Microsoft Store on Xbox or PC, you can use the points you get to purchase your Game Pass subscription, costing you literally nothing to get the service. As if you own an Xbox, you are probably buying things from the Xbox store already. The value you get from Game Pass makes it a phenomenal addition to the Xbox ecosystem, where PlayStation Now feels like an afterthought from Sony or a way to recoup the money they spent acquiring Gaikai. Have a great weekend, Parker. Your responses go on. Mitch writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "In response to the PlayStation Now question yesterday, I used the service for an individual game a few years ago to play Ni No Kuni. After that, they had a deal for a three-month subscription. They've since gotten rid of the three-month in favor of a year-long. I didn't really feel like the service worked well enough for me and my intent to warrant getting another whole year. Just my 2 cents. Thanks." Ron wrote in and said, "I have PS Now and recently bought an Xbox for 4K Blu-rays, and Games Pass is definitely superior. People always talk about latency, but another major issue is that there's no way of knowing when a game will be taken off the service. Unlike with Game Pass. And at least on Xbox, you could then just buy the game outright with any DLC. Joshua G wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, I was attracted to the PS Now service with the idea that it would provide easy access to franchises and genres I wasn't confident in buying outright, allowing me to experience games I've always heard about on Kind of Funny, IGN's Podcast Beyond, or Gamescoop talk about over the years, without feeling bad if it didn't click for me. It also allows me to access older favorites on a whim. After hearing news about a possible Red Faction re-release, I was able to hop into that last night without bringing up the PS3, finding it in my download list, and then waiting for it to download. The con I run into with games I've played before is that my saves can't be there, so I'll have to start from scratch, and that normally just turns me off from replaying old games. On occasion, there will be a buffering issue, which can be jarring, but overall, it's a high-quality experience. Devin write in, in all caps, he puts, well, I'm here to tell you that Xbox Games Pass is pretty cool. And he continues to go on about how great it is and everything out there. And that he's bringing up the actual rewards as well and all these different things. Brandon wrote in and said, hey, Greg and Andrea. First off, I wanted to say that Andrea is one of the best voices in the video game industry. And I listen to every show you're on.
Thank you. That's
second,
nice.
You asked us to write in about our PlayStation Now experience. I think it's a wonderful service that offers plenty of great games for a good price, but there are some games that are worse to play than others. For example, I played Heavy Rain on the service, and the latency was so bad with the QuickTime events that I eventually had to put it on easy mode at the end of the game to even complete the last QTE. Yes. So, I think it's a great service, but some games are better than others. I had one more. Morrison wrote in. He's saying the same stuff everybody else has said, except that now he's a new Patreon subscriber. Thanks for that. So I feel like from our haphazard poll, we're getting the results I would have expected. And I think I talked about yesterday. PlayStation Now is cool, has some problems because you are streaming. There is latency here and there. It's not same device to device. And Xbox games Game Pass is awesome because you just download the stuff and have it ready to go. So there you go, Andrew. Problem solved.
So you're saying I should try Xbox Game Pass.
But do you want to go play old stuff? You know, I do. The idea of something on a whim is interesting because I have had the itch of like, fuck, I'd love to go back and play Red Dead again before Red Dead comes out. But I don't want to dig out the PS3 and I don't want to dig out the. But then it's similar to one of the things in there. I also don't want to start a new save.
Yeah,
I'd rather just pick up.
That's
and try
really
to
it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. No, thank
It'd
you.
It'd be great if you could have tied your saves to your gamer tag. Or your PSN ID, like in the cloud.
Well, that's the thing. If
that could
only,
cross console.
If
but.
Only PlayStation Plus, you know, allowed me to upload my saves to a cloud, that then in the PlayStation ecosystem, they what's that, Kevin? PlayStation Plus does let me upload my saves. So my Red Dead save is on the cloud right now. Yeah. So if PlayStation Now really wanted to step it up to the next level, they should introduce that way of letting them talk to each other. Huh, okay, that's an interesting idea,
I was
Kev.
Wondering where you were going with this.
Yeah,
you know, brought
you
it
saw,
around.
You saw what I was doing, right?
Yeah.
High five.
Yeah.
We're making a show here. We're making some fun over here. Fun times. I enjoyed when I came in to interrupt the morning show or whatever. Of course, I knew that Joey and Andrea were going to do the mimosas. I didn't realize Cool Greg and Kevin would be busting out the kegerator beers at 11:15 in the morning. But I love it. That's him. That's his wedding ring there slamming into it. Good Lord. Thanks. Thank God there's no more shows after
TGIF,
this
TGIF, everybody.
Hey. Let's check in with Reader Mail. That's not about streaming games or downloading games or whatever. Well, it may be that, but it's not about PlayStation Now or Xbox Game Pass. From now on, Andrea.
Yes, Greg.
I owe you $1 every time I say Xbox Games Pass. We're going to get out of this.
Ooh, okay.
I Andrea's here for every show. You're not here all that often, all right? David wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says to Andrea's question. Oh, this is the thing, too. There wasn't much news today. Lots of stuff about the games.
That's one.
That's a dollar. Lots of news about Game Pass and PlayStation Now. But then it was a lot of the questions were very reactionary in a good way to everything we talked about yesterday. So these I haven't vetted these through you, but we have two in the very beginning about games that are the IP got moved around different developers. David wrote in and said, to Andrea's question, I was screaming into my phone XCOM. It was dead for over a decade, then 2K and two different studios tried to make two completely different games. One a shooter and another turn-based strategy game.
This is an excellent example. Thank you, David.
Good.
I'm sorry that you got frustrated listening to the show yesterday.
Oh, it wasn't
frustration. We couldn't get it, but yeah, yeah, yeah. I appreciate you writing in.
Now, because if you missed this yesterday, we were talking about the idea of Fable. Microsoft owns a studio. Kills that studio, still owns the Fable ID, but or IP, kills Lionhead, then a few years later, whatever it is, gives it to a new studio, theoretically, to make another Fable game. That, again, that weird, like, is that ever happened in terms of, I own the studio. I close the studio. I take their IP and I give it to somebody else. And blah, blah, blah. So even that one, did 2K own it the whole time? It's dead for a decade and 2K in two different studios. This is where it gets weird because we're just not XCOM experts.
It's true.
Madognik 96, of course, from Massachusetts. Not to be confused with Madognik 96 from Albuquerque. Writes in and says, hello, Greg and Andrea. Yesterday, Andrea was trying to think of an example of a studio closing down and their property being revived by someone else. Now, again, that's not 100% what she was saying. She's talking about, I own the IP and I own the studio. I close the studio. I take the IP and give it to someone else in my umbrella, correct?
Correct.
Okay. A few series came to mind, but I'm not sure if they meet her requirements. Madognik 96 says, Spyro, originally by Insomniac and sold to Activision, which was used in their Skylanders series years later, albeit Insomniac did not shut down.
Right, and they also sold it to Activision.
Not the exact same thing.
No.
Tomb Raider, originally developed by Core Design and published by Eidos, had ceased development under Core after Angel of Darkness on PS2 and went to Crystal Dynamics. Though they didn't force the shutdown of the studio, Core only developed one more title after and then closed.
But Square Enix oversees both Eidos and Crystal.
Exactly. Square still had, and that wasn't always the case, right? Square bought Eidos and that's how they got Tomb Raider and that thing. So again, not apples to apples. Duke Nukem Forever, I don't remember the long history of this game, but it definitely started at 3D Realms and ended at Gearbox. Yeah.
I mean, but that means the IP changed hands.
Yeah. And there you go. See, that's all I can think of now. Maybe Andrew was thinking of it too precise that it hasn't happened. And that's
no, I mean, and that's what we said yesterday was that this example is so specific that maybe this is the precedent. Maybe this is the first time. Again, this is all alleged or theoretical because this is a rumor. Like, it's not confirmed that Fable's coming back, that anybody's working on it. Microsoft has not said anything about it.
Right. But it's got to be true. Come on. You want to believe? We got to believe. My dog, Nick 96, finishes, of course, by plugging stuff that I need to plug. Thanks, as always, for the podcast and the shows. I agree. This week's Patreon exclusive party mode is well worth the dollar. Just a dollar. Go over there and see me, you know, bring Satan to the table. Isn't that what you always wanted? Now, James Lewis writes in. And, of course, I haven't fact checked this, but it seems like an interesting story. And why would he lie to us? He wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, less of a question and more of an answer for yesterday's comment about Nintendo Labo and its pronunciation. In Japanese, the English word lab is pronounced labo or labu, both accepted, although colloquially the first is more common, due to the fact that it is a phonetic language, and thus all letters in Japanese are syllables in English, and with the exception of the N, and then he puts the Japanese character for N in there, all letters contain at least a vowel. Thus, this creates the odd lettering of words when game titles are translated for pronunciation accuracy rather than contextual accuracy. Both are legitimate for this translation as it is a proper noun. Secondary note. This is also why sometimes Japanese games have odd English names when translated due to the translation scheme they use, e.g. direct, contextual, colloquial translations. Sorry for the long post and love your work, Smiley Emoticon.
That was very informative. Thank you, James.
Good job, James. You know what I mean? Game Freak 55 says, hey, Greg, thoughts on iconoclasts? My thoughts are embargoed.
There you go.
You can see my trophies. You can see I've been playing it, but I can't say anything till next week, and I'm off all next week, so fuck you.
Oh.
Nah, I'll tweet about it. I'll tweet something. We got him, Kev. Nailed him. Kev's had too many beers, but I love him.
He's had one beer.
Yes, but you're what I call a lightweight. You can't hold your alcohol.
That's not true.
Really?
You're a little guy.
No. Kevin, is that true?
You're a little guy.
I just have a lot of alcohol very quickly. It's my new thing.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. So where are the shots? Let's do some.
Oh, Jesus. Don't encourage him, please.
It gets bad.
You know what I did back there? Because this afternoon, I'm going to try to play some games before I get out of here.
Uh-huh.
I also downloaded the Monster Hunter World beta.
Oh, I'm glad. You said you weren't going to do it.
Because I thought of it as more of, oh, it's a Saturday thing. Not that it's, oh, it's already going. So I can get in there. And I wasn't sure with the thing that's embargoed from yesterday, how much time I would need to put into it today. But
right.
I got time. So I'm going to get in there, get my Monster Hunter wings on. Matt from Perth, Australia, oi governor, writes in and says, good day, Greg and Andrea. I've been listening and following Kinda Funny since the start and have never written in before. But today, I felt compelled to do so. The reason? Nintendo Labo. I have a 4-year-old daughter who I have been struggling to find a way to ease her into video games. She absolutely loves watching me play Mario Kart, Odyssey, or Splatoon 2, and she will play games in 1-2 Switch that are simple to control. In addition to this, she loves putting together Lego sets with me and doing arts and crafts. The moment I watched that trailer, it captured my imagination, and I couldn't wait to show my daughter and see what she thought. As soon as I finished showing her, the first question she had was, "Can we play it now?" I guess the real reason I'm writing in is the fact that I am amazed with how Nintendo can continue to find new ways to create ways to play together. My family is all in on this, and those that are hating on it just need to realize that this probably isn't designed for them. As for the price, when you compare it to a simple crafts kit you can buy for kids that are already around the $20 mark, and once you've made them, the fun is over. With Labo, you are getting the family time you work through constructing it, as well as the ongoing enjoyment of actually being able to play with what you make. I will happily purchase new kits as they come out if they keep the price reasonable. Anyway, sorry for the long email, but I just wanted to share a parent's perspective on this. Thanks for everything you do. I look forward to seeing what the new experience and opportunities are ahead for the Kinda Funny crew in the future.
That's great.
And then you got a P.S. Sorry, you and Jen are, I missed this. P.S. Greg, you and Jen are thinking about a kid of your own. There is nothing more special on this earth. That's why I'm trying to guilt Playmobil into giving me the Ghostbuster toys early so I can just put them on the shelf. Because I ain't going to buy all these things. You know what I mean?
You will.
I'm not made of money. Oh, well, no,
you'll buy the things.
Right now while I got the juice, get it for free. Because I already got the Lego Firehouse up on the shelf.
Okay.
I'm going to build it one day with the kid, Kevin.
Okay, first of all, you said when you move into your new place, you were going to build it with me. So now, I mean, I don't know what to feel.
No.
You definitely said that.
Look at the sadness in his eyes, Greg.
I said I wouldn't build it till I got like a real house somewhere to keep it. Where am I going to keep a firehouse in our house right now? I got a dog with a hole in his paw. You can't be building Legos.
You're changing what you said.
You know what? I'm a liar, and it's time you knew that, Kevin.
Oh, no.
I'm the real flip-flopper, not Nick.
Matt, thank you so much for writing in. Clearly, there's other parents that feel that the same way you do, that were posting on social media after the announcement. It's a good example of these craft kits. You know, parents do spend a lot of money on toys for their kids. Yeah. I go to, you know, my sister and her husband's house, and I see my nephew's like room of toys, and it's more of a grandparents spend a lot of money on toys for kids. But I'm excited to see how this is going to shake out. You know, like that's what I said after the announcement, that I think it looks neat.
Yeah.
I'm just concerned about its durability. You know, durability, and the fact that it's, you know, it's not $20, it's $70. That's quite a price jump. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see. It's a good point that he makes about how these other craft kits are. You build them once and then and then it's done. As somebody who spent a lot of money on crafts for What's Good Games, crafts are not cheap.
So. It's going to be fascinating. I'm still really it's not for me at all, but I'm like, yeah, it's cool. I'm looking forward to seeing if it takes off, people like it, and how they all come together. And I want to play that piano. Kevin, I'm going to learn to play the piano. I'll play you a song. I hate Kevin so much.
I mean, you have deemed yourself a liar now, though.
I know, right? There's no way for me. Special segment liar. It's me. Huh? What I did wanna?
Platinum Metal Gear.
Okay. All right. Turn off your fucking mic. Final question for reader mail comes from Brosif Thompson, who wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and said, "Greetings, esteemed Kinda Funny Games Daily co-hosts. First time, long time. On Thursday's show, Greg dismissed the idea of the new Alien franchise game being Evolve in the Alien universe. But that seemed kind of hypocritical, considering his fondness for Friday the 13th, which is kind of Evolve in the Friday the 13th universe, no?
Wait, did I miss that when we were talking about Alien? Did you mention...
Sure did. I mentioned Evolve, yeah.
How did I... Maybe I was like looking at the next...
Because it was such a good point.
Actually, it is a good point because I really liked Evolve.
No. I see you're going the wrong way. I'm saying it would be another failure if they go that way.
Oh, no. I think it could be good.
So here's... For your question, Brosif Thompson, thank you for the good name too, by the way, is the fact that Evolve failed because it ignored the fact that I think for that kind of game, people don't want in-depth classes and teamwork. There's definitely games where that works. There's definitely communities where that work. Evolve, and it's coming off of... Comparing it to Left 4 Dead, the team's game before then, right? Left 4 Dead was awesome because you jumped in, you got a gun you liked, and you went and shot everything. You didn't have to worry about, all right, cool. I'm the healer. You're the trapper. You get him over here. I'm going to tether him. You do that, blah, blah. We'll put the bubble over him. Evolve, when I played with the IGN crew, when we go off and do the Let's Plays, was a ball because we all were on the same page and knew what to do.
You were playing together.
Exactly. I think when you release Evolve to the mainstream community where...
You're matchmaking with strangers.
Exactly. And there are, don't get me wrong, there's plenty of people who are like, oh, I play with the same group of people, multiple games. Sure, it's harder with a new game to get everybody to buy it, to sell them on it. Sure, maybe somebody in your Destiny clan will play with you, but maybe not everybody else. And then you do get randoms and they're not communicating, blah, blah. That's where I think Evolve fail. And I think that that's what Friday the 13th gets to avoid again, right? Where it is, sure, my counselors have different perks in terms of speed or repair or whatever, but I don't need to get in there and be like, oh, I'm the only one who can do this. No, everyone can do everything, so you can get in there and actually go have fun.
True. Well, and also in Friday the 13th, you don't need to work together to win.
Yeah, you should, but you don't have to. Escape,
right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You can lone wolf in Friday the 13th and be fine.
You sure can.
Yeah. You know, yeah. You can't do that in Evolve. Like, if somebody goes off on their own, yeah. Like, I mean, the monster will pick you off.
And so, like, I don't know what they're thinking about. When I briefly kicked it aside yesterday, I was thinking about, yeah, I don't want to. I don't think an alien game fits as well with, cool, you're the space marine, which means you have all these cool weapons and all these different things. Don't look at it. Don't look at whatever Kevin does back there. He just got his switcher back. He doesn't know what he's up to yet. You're the space marine. I'm the scientist, so I can, like... I don't think the alien brand lends itself super well to that to get people excited when he's just over there cackling during your point. I know. My concern would be that, I think, limits the success of that game. Whereas I think if you went something like Friday the 13th, where it's a brand that reaches a lot of people, how do we get them in there and have them have the most fun?
So 7v1 with somebody being the alien.
Yep. That works.
That could be really cool.
Yeah, that would be really cool, right? There's something there. Anyway, you beat him to it. Brosive said, so what would your feelings be on a Friday the 13th style game in the alien universe? I think, yeah, that could totally work, where if we were bobbing around, I would just want it to be that I don't feel like I have to work with everybody. Like, I can lone wolf it, I can break off, that my success isn't tethered to the other five people I'm teamed up with.
Everyone's just going to want to be Ripley, though.
Exactly, and that's why I can't do it. Trust me, Sigourney Weaver, she ain't get. I want to be Newt.
Yeah.
Right, I want to be Newt. Crawl through the vents, do all this different stuff, have a cat. Perfect life. I forgot. I left out. I'm sorry. Brosef Thompson from Arizona. So not the Brosef Thompson from Massachusetts hanging out with my dog Nick 96 from Massachusetts. Time to squat up. This is an interesting one, so stick with me. But usually this is where you write in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD, giving me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in the video game world. We talked a little bit with Gary Witta on Witta Wednesday about YouTube's new rules. Dennis writes in about them. He needs help on YouTube. His Twitter is Rebreak Radio, R-E, and then Break Radio, all one word on Twitter. Hey, guys. I'm looking for some fellow best friends out there to start kind of a network of small YouTube creators. My channel is very small and has been for a while, and I think we can all help each other grow and evolve if we collaborate and push each other to keep going and do better. Parentheses. It's real hard to find motivation to keep going when you have 20 subscribers and it's just not growing. But I do it still because I enjoy making stuff and sharing my opinions. So if you're interested, send me a DM on Twitter at Rebreak Radio. DMs are open to anyone. Even if you don't have a channel of your own, I'm always looking for co-hosts for my podcast. Link to the channel itself is available on my Twitter profile. I don't have a short link URL yet because you need something like 1,000 subs or something. Anyway, thanks. Everybody, I know a lot of you are YouTube creators. Go collaborate with Rebreak Radio. Unless he or she is... No, it's Dennis, right? Unless Dennis is a horrible person. But he's a best friend, so I doubt it. Could be, though. Could be. I'm not going to sit here and tell you he doesn't... What was that, Kevin? Eats people's face. I'm not going to say he doesn't do that. I'm not going to say he did it. I'm just going to say Rebreak Radio on Twitter if you want to make some YouTube connects out there. And believe it or not, that's the show. A quiet Friday.
Indeed.
Got you out of here 10 minutes early. Come on now.
Now I have time to wait for pizza.
Yeah, pizza waiting. That's going to be the best part.
It's not good, though, to have pizza when you're on Weight Watchers, Greg. How many points pizza is?
Do you need to be on Weight Watchers?
John and I are doing it together.
Okay.
Solidarity.
Sure. No, I hear you. I hear you on that one.
And need is a strong word. I would say it's helpful for me to get back into fighting shape. Because let's be honest, I gorged over the holidays like most of us did.
Oh, we all did, yeah. Yeah, totally.
So much sugar. Yeah, just ate all the pumpkin bars.
Yeah, they were good though.
So good.
Andrea, since we ended early today, of course people can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and get the new episode of the Gamescast, which is insanely long, but they can also go and get the new What's Good, right?
They can, yes. You can find us on Spotify. You can find us on podcast services like iTunes, Overcast, Google Play, SoundCloud. Basically, anywhere you can find podcasts, you can find What's Good Games. And we're also on YouTube.com/What's Good Games. But don't forget, when you're watching the live show on Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames, which we hope you can do a couple of times if you've never seen it, you can go to KindaFunny.com/You're Wrong and let us know if we screwed up something, because I've been looking at it, Greg.
Did we screw stuff up?
Well, not really.
Just
but
more clarifications?
Yes. So if you want, we can go into that, unless there's other things you'd like to plug
first.
I accidentally closed the show notes, so I couldn't remember where we were at in the show.
No, you're right. I was putting in here where I already did the new segment where you need to know your role, of course, submitted by Mark Clark.
Yes.
But I already said that one, so I didn't need to remind you that you need to know your role. Like the
somebody in You're Wrong talked about it's not Kind of Funny Lunch Daily, it's Kind of Funny Games Daily.
Well, I was waiting for somebody to call me out, because I think when I pitched this show at Kind of Funny Live, I was like, we won't talk about lunch. It's a serious, and now we're like 200 whatever episodes in. I'm like, ah, fuck it. What are we eating?
Yep, that's what about right. So on yesterday's show, according to King OTNW. Greg stated that the Xenoblade Chronicles 2 DLC has been released. This is mostly false. The DLC was released in Japan only.
We talked about this yesterday.
We did.
Yeah, this is you're wrong for not listening to You're Wrong from yesterday.
Yes. Mr. Whisker says the West game Greg was talking about is World to the West.
World to the West. Thank you very much. It looked cool. Got a whole bunch of good Switch stuff. I'm excited.
Yes.
Guess it'll also be cool to go to Montreal. Whatever. I don't know.
Lord of Pwn says, on the topic of racing games, I don't know if this is a you're wrong. According to Matt Piscatella of the NPD Group, sales of racing games, 60% higher when compared with 2016, showed the highest growth among all super genres in 2017, while shooter games generated the most overall consumer spend. Huh, that's interesting. What does that mean? What's the difference between highest growth and most overall consumer spend? I mean, I think obviously most overall consumer spend seems pretty self-explanatory, but highest growth, does that mean growth from 2015 to 2016 or 2016 to 2017? Does that mean
2016, 2017?
Does that mean software downloads or purchases? Does that mean user acquisition, registered users? What does that mean, growth?
I would imagine total units moved.
I have to look that up. But thank you for writing in and letting me know. This is why there's a thing that exists called conventional wisdom, if you guys are aware of what that phrase means.
I've heard of it. It's like when you go to PAX, wash your hands.
No, that's just wisdom. Conventional wisdom, for people listening, is a perceived notion of fact, meaning I think that this thing is true because it's what I've perceived to be true.
Sure.
But it's not actually true.
Racing games are bigger than we thought.
I guess so.
I was trying to tell you. You didn't want to listen.
Lord of Pwn, if you could clarify what highest growth means,
that'd
be great.
Hold on one second, too. Kindoffunny.com's Kevin Koala. What do you have
to say? I actually have a you're wrong. I went to PAX, and I ate the chicken wings that guy gave me.
Yeah.
With my hands. I didn't wash them. Didn't get sick.
Sure you didn't.
I didn't.
Some of us, Kevin, have very strong immune systems. I also...
Kevin is not one of them.
Don't get sick very often. I don't get sick
very often. I'll track every time you're sick this year. Track it. All right. I do.
Be careful,
conventional wisdom, Kevin.
Be careful, though, Kevin, because the flu rates are up 700% this year.
All right, what else did we get wrong?
Let's see here. According to Luke R. Wolf. Digimon Story Cyber Sleuth Hacker's Memory is out today on both PS4 and Vita. Greg said it was only out for PS4.
Thank you. Kotaku's turned their back on Vita.
All right. Okay. Oh, this is interesting. Edit. Greg said only two people wrote in about Andrew's question from yesterday about IP. There was at least one other person, me. Activision closed Neversoft's Guitar Hero team after Guitar Hero Warriors of Rock was released in 2010, and the rest of the studio later merged with Infinity Ward. In 2015, Activision released Guitar Hero Live, which was developed by Freestyle Games, the creators of DJ Hero. That is an excellent example.
That's a great example. Thank you. I'm sorry if I said that. That was a misspoke. No, a lot of people wrote in about it. I was misconstrued there, or I was just talking on my ass trying to fill time.
That is exactly the example I was looking for.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Unfortunately, did not work out for them. Guitar Hero Live, not great.
It was something different.
I liked the innovation that they did,
yeah.
But the problem was is that it meant that I had to relearn how to play yep. Guitar Hero.
And I was like, I got things to do.
I got, it's too much time.
Yeah, I don't have time to learn these up the white buttons on top and the black bottoms on bottom.
And no, and I liked the idea of this like rotating music video channel,
yeah.
But like, just didn't come to fruition.
I couldn't do it, no. We'd already learned so much at that point.
Exactly. Vin Zombie says, Under Night in Birth X latest.
Oh God, here we go.
It's an updated version of Under Night in Birth. This is a visual novel and 2D fighting game co-developed by Ecole Software and French Braid. French Bread? That's the name of a developer?
I Amazing. Hope it is. That's awesome.
And it says it's pronounced latest as in the latest version.
Oh, then they should spell it that way.
No.
And not put brackets around the letters. That isn't even a you're wrong. It was just
have
more information.
Have you read any titles of the Kingdom Hearts games? Let's talk
yeah,
about
I
it.
Yeah, I have.
Ugh. Okay, somebody else talking about Digimon on Vita.
Gotta catch 'em all, Digimon.
Oh my God.
They're digital monsters and they're coming up the drain. Throw down the Digiball, put them in your brain. Now you got voices in your head. What you gonna do? Grab the revolver, find your parents now. The Digimon want blood.
Okay, okay, that's amazing. But Petey. 0000 dropping some knowledge that you probably know this, but I don't know this. Xbox 360 saves can be put in the cloud and work with Game Pass.
Motherfucker PlayStation.
So if you played Red Dead Redemption on 360, you can continue with your save on Xbox One. But I know Greg was on about getting his PS3 save.
Yep, I was.
Across to 360.
Next, you're going to tell me that Xbox people can change their gamer tags at whenever they want to.
Spoilers.
What? It's Kevin's getting way too brash over there.
The problem, Petey, with this, though, is that I no longer have my Xbox 360 in an easily accessible place. It's in a box, packed away.
Getting it out to get your saves, why not just put it there?
Yeah. At that point, I mean, actually, no. I'd prefer to play on I don't even know where my Xbox 360 controller is. I might have a wired one that was hooked up to my PC at some point. I don't know. All right, continuing on. Lord of Pwn. Insomniac never owned the Spyro IP. It was owned by Vivendi Universal and is now owned by Activision.
Good correction. Thank you.
Nice. Amkoff says Xbox Game Pass is $9.99 a month, not $19.99.
We said that yesterday, I thought.
Did we? Did we Maybe we accidentally today? Misspoke today.
All right.
Thank you for the correction. Steffmeister, regarding game saves in PS Now, you can upload a game save to the PS Plus cloud on PS3 and then use that save in PS Now on PS4. You can also go the other way and start a game on PS Now and upload it to the cloud and later download it to PS3.
Oh, now it's interesting. Now it's interesting.
Ooh.
Now we might have to kick on the PSN Now trial, see if I can get my Red Dead save sunk up.
Do you know where your PS3 is?
No, but I was very anal about uploading saves that mattered to me to the cloud, thinking, of course, like they'll be backwards compatible on PlayStation 4.
Of course, why wouldn't there be backwards compatibility?
At least there'll be a fucking web portal I can go to and see what's in all of the cloud. I'm just uploading. I have so many saves in there. I don't know what the hell's in there anymore.
I don't even know how much storage space I have in there.
Yeah, exactly.
There's got to be a place. This is the Tomb Raider example that we already talked about. With IPs and stuff. Correction about Spyro. Thank you, we already got that. Rocka Rock, another etiquette you're wrong. Greg, where you're wrong to lie to Kevin and get his hopes up, then let them crash down about building Legos with him. Lying is wrong.
Oh, God, it's too fresh.
You encourage him, everybody. You all encourage him to be like this.
Apparently, somebody, Petey, corrected a correction to say that you can move your Xbox saves via USB. You cannot. I don't think you can do it via USB, only the cloud. Okay, I don't know what that means.
so you're saying you have to upload them to the cloud. You can't put your Xbox 360 saves in a USB and bring them over to your thing and use them.
Correct.
Okay. Meanwhile, I did a cool Batman drawing. Oh,
wait, I can't. So Lord of Pwn wrote in and said, racing games saw a 68% increase in revenue, which was the highest compared to other genres. So shooters made the most money, but it didn't see a lot of growth compared to racing games. It could also mean unit sales, but that is unlikely. So this is something, I mean, this is why statistics are tricky, right? You're drawing Batman again?
No, Kevin broke Sky, went to Skycam and then doesn't understand his fixed switcher, so he was just stuck on Skycam with a giant black box on it for a while.
Amazing. That's it, Greg.
All right, we limped through that.
We did it.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we come to you with the nerdy video game news you need to know about. You can watch live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames, later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, or listen on podcast services around the globe. I'm off for an entire week. Monday show, Tim Geddes, Andy Cortez.
Ooh.
That subreddit loves Andy Cortez, so that you better get that episode a million views, all right? And then we'll talk about bringing him on more. Andrea?
Yes?
You keep these kids in line next week for me, all right?
I'm going to try.
All right, now let's eat some pizza.
Okay, sounds good.
Until next time, it's Nerd Pusher Serve You.